Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing me home safely. Thank you, Jesus. I love your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you have done for us in this beautiful 2011. We absolutely love your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming ministering to us faithfully every day. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as this message that you gave me, as I was preparing for this message, you just downloaded things that you wanted me to say on dreams and directions for 2012. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this words that will come out of my heart would not be just something that I want to fabricate it, something that I want to just make you feel good. But Holy Spirit, let it come from you. Let it come from the heart of God. Father, I pray, Father, come and minister to your children this morning. Come and let your words become life. Let your words that you spoke out when in the book of Genesis, when you said, let there be light and there was light. Let there be life and there was life. And Lord, I pray, let your word become light and life unto us today, Father. That we may receive your presence this morning more and more. That we may receive your word and not walk away feeling, well, it was another Sunday, but feel like that I have hope in Jesus. I have hope in my Father. I have hope in the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I pray, come and minister to us this morning. Come and release your presence this morning all the way through. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Wow, how are we guys all doing today? Good? So next Sunday is our Christmas potluck, I heard, right? I'm excited to come and eat all Canadian food next Sunday. Can you believe I've been eating curry for almost 13 days, Marina? You know, my wife is saying, don't tell them about it. I'm telling you, it was amazing. I had different flavors, you know. Right from the southern part of India to the middle of India to the northern part of India. I was curried out in morning, curried out in the afternoon, curried out in the night. You know, I had all some of my Canadian folks and some Australian friends and UK friends with us, about 20 of us. And every morning they came hoping there will be nice, like a toast and an omelette and a bacon and egg. And out came was like curry first thing in the morning, you know. They opened the dish, there was another curry flavor. An open dish, another curry flavor. And somewhere in the corner there was a little toaster with a bread, you know. So, but hey, well, we had a great, great time. Wonderful time. You know, but I'm here to share a message to you this morning on dreams and directions. As I was meditating on the Lord, with the Lord, and asking God, I said, God, we really need to know, God, you know, where are we going? You know, we really need to know about our life. We really need to know, God, you know, how do we need to walk with your word on this earth. How many would like to know, right? We need to know, right? We need to know where God is taking us. We need to know what God is saying about our life. Because we can be robots. Can we be? Like, get up in the morning, just dress up. Okay, I got to go to work. Okay, get up in the morning, go do this and go do that. And another day, another life, you know. Okay, pack our children and go. But we really need to hear from God and say, God, what do you want to say to me? What do I do, you know? But because life seems so uncertain, you know? We feel like this is where I wanted to do it. I just got off the plane in Zurich yesterday and met my dear friend Werner, who actually supported me to go to India. And I was just having breakfast with him at the airport. And he's saying, Faustin, you know, I got all excited 2-3 years ago and I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And but doesn't seem to be going the way I wanted it. You know, things have been a little bit different, you know. And we started that ministry in Switzerland over 5 years ago together, you know. And he's flourishing. He's got Isabel Alam the day I was there, you know. And he's absolutely doing fantastic. He has his own business. But overall in life, he doesn't seem to be contented. He's like, I don't know. I still feel like things are missing. And we all feel like that to a certain degree, don't we? You know, for some of us, we may have everything in life. We have a beautiful home, we have money, but this is missing. We may have this and that, but that's missing. So there's always some sort of a void in our life. How many could kind of relate to that, you know? There's something or other. But the goodness of God is not about what you and I do on this earth. The goodness of God is not about what I need to achieve on this earth. I began to learn and understand that God, your plan is way different than my plan. And my life in the last couple of years has taken a turn, a detour, where I began to understand that I need to follow the will of God, not my own beautiful little life. I need to follow the purpose of God and not what I want to do. My life began to take a turn and I began to understand I need to really listen to God and hear His voice speak to me. And within me, I began to feel, Maureen and I began to say, we need to start looking at our life differently. When I got off the plane and I spent probably the first evening with Maureen and I was just telling him, Maureen, I may have to go to India a few times more. Because I just began to feel, you know, I was so exhausted one afternoon and I just began to lay down waiting to go share my message on walking in the light. And I kind of took a 10-minute soaking. And all of a sudden I saw this vision about these three big ministry that I've been working with, you know, for the last few years. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started giving me a very vivid vision of what needs to happen, what I need to do. And I said, wow. And I got all excited about it. And I went back and I was back in the room and I was kind of meditating on it and whatnot. And then I shared it with some of the leaders over there. Hey, guys, what do you guys think about this? And all three, more two of them agreed. I haven't spoken to the third person yet. And I knew this was God's work. And I talked to Arcastified some of the leaders. They agreed too. And I said, wow. And I came back home and I told Maureen, I think I need to go back a couple of more times a year. You know, because God's about to do something in India. I'm telling you folks, the countries like India and China and places like Iran and Iraq are in peak revival. We don't understand it yet. We don't see it yet. The tribal people in the villages are so much flourishing for the kingdom. And we feel like, where is the anointing? Where is the revival happening? It is actually happening. It's actually happening. People are being raised from the dead. People are being healed. People are coming to know the Lord. I met some very big key leaders in the Indian political field. They've given their life to the Lord. We met a man who has 160 million people under him. And we spent one evening with him. And that man is saying, you Christians need to get into politics. He was a Hindu. He said, you Christians need to get into politics. You Christians need to come and help us. The Hindu government has failed. This one has failed. You're the only one we are looking up to. I began to recognize we have become the most influential people on earth. We need to understand the dreams that God's given you, it's not for you. Yes, it's for you, for your prosperity, for your growth. But there is a purpose that you and I have that has been called for God's plan. And we for too long have taken that dream and we have consumed ourselves saying, what about me? And we need to come out of that box and say, God, what do you have? What do you want me to do? So the message that I want to share with you this morning is from Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2. And it's a Christmas story. But thank God it's a true story. It's not a fable. It's not a little thing where Joseph, not Joseph, the husband of Mary, who's got this shocking news come to him that the girl that he's about to marry is pregnant already. I mean, how many would like that? That's a pretty unpleasant scene. Just imagine your son comes home and says, I'm marrying this girl who's already pregnant with another guy. Or I'm going to have so-and-so person in our home for, you know, she's going to become my daughter-in-law, but she's already pregnant with somebody else. It's such a sad scene for us to accept, like society, no, we're not doing that. We're not accepting it. Joseph, a righteous man, the Bible says, who loved Mary, but he was in his quietness. He said, no, I'm going to let her go. This is not the one I want to have in my life. Because when he found out culturally, she's already pregnant. I mean, today's society, we have begun to accept it a little bit. We say, okay, it's all right, kind of thing. But those Eastern cultures did not really accept a woman who's already pregnant. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And let's read from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. You see, we have plans for our lives. We have things that we have already, whatever we want to do, it's all about, no matter how righteous we are, but we are always sometimes self-centered. Like, okay, if this doesn't fit my kind of dimension of my life, I don't want this in my life. Joseph planned it very secretly. But look at what God did. Look what God did. In verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for Joseph. You know, I thank God for the way he really brought in Jesus into the world. But when he began to wonder, well, I don't know if I want to be in partner with God's plan. You see, this is a question that you and I have to ask all our life. Are you really partnering with God's plan? Am I really partnering with God has for me? Or am I partnering what God has for others? Where am I in life? It's a question that you and I need to ask. And I am very bold to say, 85% of the time I would always think about myself. Well, God, you know, I'm not fully operating in the ministry, God. I don't see myself really up there. Oh, God, I really feel I'm lacking in this. Oh, God, I really feel I wish I could do more. Lord, I feel that something is missing. And I got to be honest with you. Even this 14-day trip that I was complaining in my heart. I was saying to God, oh, God, I wish I could have seen more miracles in Slovenia. God, I wish that lady who was crippled on a thing, she would have got healed. I was complaining back and forth with myself. But I began to realize, is that, am I really partnering with God? Are you really partnering with God with your life? Or are you only concerned about what's good for you and what's good for myself? And yes, that's what Joseph kind of felt. You know what? I'm not really going to get in partnering with God on this one. I'm going to really very quietly send her away. But because he considered this, God dropped a dream into his heart that night. So it's good to go to sleep in the night, by the way. It's good to sleep well, okay? Make sure you sleep well, because I love dreams. I love when God begins to download, giving me dreams. I absolutely love it. I'll share with you a couple of my dreams, how I really felt that God was directing me. So when you get dreams, don't ignore them. Write it down, journal them. Begin to ask God, okay, God, I don't understand what this dream is. Last night I had some amazing couple of dreams. And I didn't have a chance to write it down. But you got to take a book and a pen and write it down really quick. Because God has been speaking to us, because we've been very, very busy during the day. We have work to do and this and that. And God continuously wants to give us direction of where you need to go in life. He wants to give you direction of what you need to do in life. And then it goes on to say in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with the child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And look at this part, verse 24. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's what I love about Joseph. Yes, his plan was like, I'm going to leave her alone. I'm going to step away from it. But when God spoke to her through the dream, he was obedient to the voice. He said, yeah, I'm going to do exactly what the Lord told me to do, and I'm going to follow that. See, we get dreams from God, and we write it down. But we find very hard to follow it. We find very hard to kind of, I don't know, this is not fitting with my paradigm of my life. This seems totally off. I don't know whether this is something that I want to do. And we move on with life and we get on things with life. And then 10 years down the road and we wonder like why things have gone wrong. Why things have not gone the way I wanted it. But wait. 20 years ago, God gave you that dream and asked you to do something. You did not want to do it. You ignored it. And so when you're looking at your life and it's going through a wrong direction, it's because you've been disobedient to God's voice. It is very important. We all want to hear prophetic word. We all want to hear from God. We all want to know what God is saying. But are we obedient to follow His voice? Are we obedient to follow His dream? Are we willing to take up challenges of this world, which is not going to be easy when it comes to God's command? These school of ministry students, I mean, they're in their 20s. They can go have a life. They can go do things for their life. They have paid a price. This girl just said she just didn't even have money for what she wanted to do. She said, but she's following God's heart. She's following God's will. Why do we have to pay a price on this earth? I can't have a Mercedes Benz and expect to heal people. I mean, I would love to have a Mercedes Benz, which I kind of a great car. But if that's not God's will, I'm not going to pursue Mercedes Benz. I'm going to pursue what God has for me. You see, we have this tug of war going on in our life constantly. And we're trying to be you know, the Bible says you either be hot or either be cold. If you be lukewarm, I'll spit you out. So we have to really become serious about life. We got to really start thinking, God, where am I going? Are you with me so far? Okay. Let's go to chapter 2. And here's another one where we know the story. When King Herod got the news, he met the Magi, and the Magi were told, you know, this is where Jesus is, and the star led them. And then they went and visited Jesus, they worshipped him, and after they were warned by God in verse 12. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Dreams are given to us when we go against God's will. I had a dream not too long ago, maybe about a couple of months ago, where I was really having all these strange thoughts. You know, God, it doesn't make sense to me. I need to get out of this. I don't think I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I was really fighting within my heart and within my spirit. And I said, I'm going. And that very night, I got a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself and Marina walking into a theater. And I walking into the theater, and you know, there was this lower seats, and there was this balcony up top. And there were some very key people in the ministry that Marina and I know were sitting up there, and they were waving at us with a few other people. And we were choosing to go sit to the lower seat. And I sat at the lower seat, and I'm waving. And all of a sudden, I saw this key person saying, come up here, come up here. So we take the ladders, and we go up. And he's showing us all these beautiful couches, all this beautiful comfy thing, and beautiful all this thing. And I got up in the morning, and it didn't take me long to understand what God was saying. He's saying, son, you're trying to choose the least part of your things that you like. I have great plans for you. Come up with me and I'll show you things that I have in store for you. That man represented to me as God the Father. And I began to understand. I said, wow, yes, God, I am sorry. You're right. You see, God is very concerned about us. God cares for you. God cares for you, and He wants to show you, reveal things to you of what He wants to do with our life. But when we choose to ignore it, that's when things go wrong with our life. So God does speak to us through dreams. How many get dreams, by the way? Most of us. And if you don't get dreams, here's some of the things that you need to work on. First thing, sleep well. Really sleep well. You know, cultivate a habit of listening to some soft, good Christian music. You know, if you're watching television and going to sleep, you're absolutely going to get things from the television. You know, you have to really prepare your heart of what you need to hear from God. Read a scripture. You know, read a portion of a scripture before you go to bed. Soak in the middle of the night. Or put some music. That's what I did in the last 14 days. I played music every night and I went to bed. And in my sleep, at some point, I probably pulled my earplugs and I fell asleep. But I wanted to fill myself with the Spirit of God. I wanted to fill myself with worship. I wanted to fill myself to hear what God is saying. It's so important that we align ourselves, we position ourselves how to hear God's voice. We're constantly looking up to a prophetic word. We're constantly looking up to a preacher. We're constantly looking up to people. But look up to your Father who knows everything about you, who cares for you, who really understands you, who wants to show things for you. It is Him who has plans. It is Him who wants to show His plans for you. Okay, let's continue. And in verse 13, and when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take up the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up, took up the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. I love Joseph's heart right here. That man had his own intentions, but he put it down and he said, no, I'm going to follow God's heart. He brought the Savior into the world. He ushered him. He stuck with God's plan. And we don't hear much about Joseph after that. But he stuck with God's plan. What are we doing with what God is giving us? Where are we going with it? Are we disappointed with life and saying, but nothing is working in my favor, so I'm just going to move on with life. I'm just going to live my life and do what I need to do. And well, God, if you don't care for me, you have to really find me. See, when we move out of God's will, when that stubbornness of our heart, when that arrogance of our heart steps in, then everything goes wrong. You know, Marina and I having some challenges with my brother-in-law, my side. My sister's husband, you know. I mean, he really likes to argue with me. He's absolutely arrogant with me. You know, if I tell him something, oh, you and your preaching and you and your this and you and your that, you know. And I said, Marina, what do I do? I mean, I'm trying to walk in grace with this man, you know, but it's not getting where I want. So I made a decision. I said, you know what, God, I bless this man. I love him. I release him. But today, I see this man just not in peace, just not at rest. Things are just not the way he's wanting to go in life. It's costing him everything. My poor sister is all upset and this and that with life. You know, their daughter is like fighting this. And I'm just telling you, it's because arrogance will cost us. Arrogance and our stubbornness and our attitude will cost us. We will step absolutely out of God's will. And then you start getting all these strange dreams. Oh, I got this dream of, somebody told me the other day, you know, I'm getting all these dreams of people attacking me and people killing me and people choking me and all that thing. Of course you will. Because what you're doing with life, where you are in life, that's what is going to come back at us. We have to really examine ourselves. What are my day-to-day activities? What am I involved with? What are some of the things that I am doing? All that comes to account. That comes to account when it comes to getting dreams from God. You know, there's a little book by Who Switched Off My Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf, and I was reading on the plane, and she said a few things about dreams, and I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of thing from her. Dreams, she said, dreams from science perspective. Of course, enough sleep helps us to dream. It improves your memories. Sometimes we do not remember the dream. Simply ask the Holy Spirit to remind you or journal your dream immediately. Even ask the Holy Spirit to interpret your dream. If you have turbulent and disturbing dream, we need to work on our thought life. Is anybody here would agree with me that a turbulent and a disturbing dream doesn't make you feel good? You don't feel good about it. You know, I don't want to have just me having a dream middle of the night that Marina's choking me. You know, I wouldn't want to have that dream. I want to have a dream that Marina's hugging me. Correct? Marina's loving me. You know, and so what it matters, what you do with your day-to-day life, it's very important. You know, your thought life is very important. You know, when you entertain toxic thoughts, bad thoughts that doesn't help you, that doesn't improve your life, you know your thoughts determine your life. What you watch on television, what you read newspaper, what you think, those have affect your life. Well, how can you say that? Well, your fruit of what you do with your life tells you exactly. You are a tree. What you bear, what kind of fruit you bear will tell you automatically. Are you with me so far? I'm almost done. God cares for us and He wants to sort out our lives even when we are sleeping. I shared with that already. But let me go back to the thought life a little bit. Our thoughts comes from God, we know that, comes from the enemy, and most of the time comes from us. Right? We know that, right? But what do you do with that thought? Do you hold that thought captive? When you hold that thought captive, what comes from God, you begin to, like, I had a thought that day, and I said, God, I am going to choose to live the rest of my life for yourself. I had this beautiful thought come to me. Okay, God, I'm going to live. Now, I could say, no, I don't want that thought. I'm going to chuck that thought away. I don't need that thought. And then comes a thought from the enemy. Have you thought about putting away all your ministry and all those dreams and all the things out and just go move on with life and enjoy your life and just keep living your life? Now, this is my life I'm talking about. And I could have agreed with that thought, or I would have had another thought that would have said to me, you know what? You're just wasting your time, you know. Just you know, this good thought and this bad thought, they're all look thing. But, you know, you're just messing up with your life. These thoughts will come, keep hitting at you. But you have to hold these thoughts captive. So I held that thought captive when God gave me that thought. I said, God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life, no matter what happens to me. I'm going to give my life to you, no matter where I go through. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And so we need to align those thoughts that come from God in our minds and begin to walk those through those thoughts, live through those thoughts. And those thoughts will determine your dream. God will begin to show you things that God has in store for you. He'll begin to show you, these are the plans I have for you, my son. These are the plans I have for you, for my daughter. And when He give you those plans will automatically conceive direction for your life. You will know where God is taking you. How many would want to know that 2012 is a year that I know something great is going to happen? I want to know. Marina and I want to know. We've already got the word for 2012. And it was already given to you. Isaiah 30:37. Am I correct? Is that the right scripture? Isaiah 30:37. That scripture has been given to us, that this is a year that we're going to plant and we're going to reap. This is a year that's going to be sown. We're going to have it. And Marina and I said, okay, this is it, God. We are going to live on it for this, for the year 2012. And that's a direction God's already given us ahead of time. Why does He give it to us? Because God cares. You could turn around and say, you know, I don't know anything about my life at 2012, I'm just going to wait when 2012 comes, and I'm going to move on with whatever life comes, and I'm going to accept it. That's arrogance. I just told you about my brother-in-law. When arrogance comes in our heart, we've just chosen to say, "Ha, I don't need to hear from God. I'm just going to follow my ways." Joseph almost had it. He said, "You know what? I'm going to secretly let her go." And God had to give him a dream and tell him, "No, my son, this is a child that's going to bring, this is going to bring such a transformation that you do not want to, you want to be part of it. You want to be part of what God is doing on this earth. I want to be part of it." We're all Christians. We're all Christians. You're not called to come on Sunday morning to sit and hear my message. You're called to change the world. You're called to transform and renew the world. So we need to do something that when we get a dream. Okay, what are you going to do? Number one thing. As soon as you get a dream from God, you write it down. That's the first thing you do. You write. Why do we need to write it down? You journal your dream. I've been writing dreams for the last 8-9 years. 8-9 years I've been writing my dreams. You know, I have books that I keep it in my basement. And I can tell you one story. When I had a dream in UK, in Shaftesbury, where that's where we used to do the soaking centers. This was in 2006. I had this dream, but I saw myself being picked up by Steve Long and Jeremy Sinnott on a top of a building and thrown up in the air. That's a pretty scary scene, isn't it? Just thrown in the air. And all of a sudden, I saw myself. I had wings on me. And I'm flying. And I'm flying nice and high. Okay? And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, God, where am I going to land? I don't know how to land." And I see rocks on the ground. And I began to land on the ground. And as I began to land on the ground, I could hear audibly the voice singing in my ears, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. Every other ground is a sinking sand." And I said, "Wow, God, what is that?" "Yeah, me too. I said that. Wow." But I wrote down the dream. And it didn't connect. It didn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, what is it, God?" And I didn't get a full picture of it. But I say, "God, whatever is it, God, I pray." Because Steve Long, to me, represents a senior pastor. Jeremy Sinnott represents a man that Maureen and I really love them, Jeremy and Connie Sinnott, you know. So they represent something. Steve for sure represents a pastoring, okay, as a pastor. Jeremy Sinnott represents, as one of a spiritual leader. And then down the road, we got invited to become pastors. And then I began to go back to the dream and I said, "Wow, it does make sense." Steve Long represented as a senior pastor who came and asked us, "Would you guys like to become a pastor?" Jeremy Sinnott represented Brampton because they lived in Brampton. And Marina and I were given the first opportunity to become pastors in Brampton. And it was a journey that we began to understand. And then I said, I went back to, I read the dream. That we understood that God was saying, it's not going to be easy. You know, it's beautiful to fly in the anointing. At some time in your life, you need me. And that is where I come in, Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Every other ground is a sinking sand. So dreams bring life to you. Dreams bring light to you. What do you do with your dream is very important. You need to write down your dream. You need to go back. I can tell you stories after stories about my life. You know, how God speaks to me through dreams. And dreams give me direction for my life, for my wife's life, and for our son's life. We pursue the dream very faithfully. We say, "God, tell us more." Because our little brain cannot understand when we are awake during the daytime. It is in the nighttime that God speaks to us through our dream. So you need to write down your dreams. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, "What, Lord, what are you trying to say?" Like, I know I had a dream which a portion of it has been fulfilled. The other part of it has not been fully fulfilled yet. But I know where I'm going. I understand where the dream is taking me. I see it very clearly where God is directing me. So I keep myself aligned with God's word. How many would like to know what God has in store for you for the rest of your life? We all need to know. So follow your dream. Let's all stand. Is it possible to have a little bit soft instrumental music? And I'm going to break you all into groups in a minute, but there's one particular scripture that I want to share, and then we're almost done. It's in Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "But our God who is in the heaven, he does whatever he pleases." Our God who is in the heaven does whatever he pleases. Your heavenly Father can change direction of your life just tonight as you go to bed. You believe that if God is a God who lives in heaven and he can do whatever it pleases, if you believe it, God can change your direction for your life. Tonight, as you sleep, God will give you a dream and he'll give you very specific instructions what God wants to do for you, not just for 2012, but for the rest of your life. But 2012 could be a year where you can have a detour. You could have changes happen. You could have things where God will begin to ask you to put an end to some of the things. God may ask you to start something new. But it is up to you that you need to make this direction, make those changes. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Get connected with your spirit. Some instrumental music would be good. Connected with your spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit within you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me see dreams, to have visions, to have a picture of what's in the Father's heart for my life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to drop hope in me. Maybe some of you are saying, it's been for years my husband hasn't come to know the Lord yet. That's been my dream. It's been years that my wife has not come to know the Lord. That has been my dream. For some of you, it's like, it's been years that I have not seen my children come to know the Lord. That's been my dream. It's been years that I have not been able to have a steady job. It has been years that I have not been able to see things been fulfilled in my life. Or maybe some of you may be saying, I had this dream growing up as a young boy and as a young girl, and that dream has been just tucked away. And I've not seen that come to pass at all. I just seen my life completely going in the wrong direction. If you feel those kind of thoughts come to you, just come in agreement with the Holy Spirit right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I absolutely surrender to you right now. Don't tell him what to do, because that's what we most of us do with Jesus. We said, Jesus, can you do this for me? Just stop it right there. Say, no, Lord, tell me what to do. What is your will for me? I will choose to be obedient like Joseph. Lord, I ask you, Lord, bring all those dreams that has been, that I have ignored it or tucked away. Let it all come back to me that I can write them down. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me to guide my future. Show me, Holy Spirit, how do I move on with life? Show me, Holy Spirit, how can I know, how can I know that I am in God's will? Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you do not even get a dream. For those of you who don't even get a dream, Just say, I give you the eyes of my heart. I give you the ears of my heart. I give you my subconscious mind. I surrender my memories to you, Holy Spirit. For some of you, you may be getting disturbing dreams, frightening dreams. I would encourage you, go back and start examining your life. Where are you in life? What are some of the things you're involved with? Wow. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and pour your presence upon your people right now. Come, Holy Spirit, release your presence in this room right now. Let them begin to know that you're a God who's in heaven and you can do whatever it pleases. And today, right now, you can change their life. Today, right now, you can make their life, transform their life. Today, right now, you can speak into their life. And you can bring light into their life, life into their spirit. Oh, Father, I cry out to you. I pray to you, Father, this morning by faith. I release an anointing in this room by faith, Father. And I speak to everyone's spirit right now. And I say, Father, let their thoughts come in alignment with your word, oh, Father. Let their mind come in rest with your word, Father. Let their dreams come in alignment with your word, oh Father. I pray by faith, Father. Let there be a supernatural dreams begin to flow in them. By faith, Father, I ask you, Father, supernatural visions begin to happen, Father. Holy Spirit, I release a wave of your dream to flow. Wave of your dream to flow. Wave of your dream to flow upon them right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As they fix their eyes on you, Lord, you as the author and the finisher of their faith. From this moment on, Father, every dark images will begin to leave by faith. By faith, every distorted images will leave by faith. Every turbulent dreams will begin to leave by faith. And you will begin to be at peace, at rest. Father, I pray even during this Christmas holidays, Father, as their emotions are going up and down, as their emotions are being disturbed by what's happening around their life, some loneliness sense sets in when they're alone. Holy Spirit, let not emotions determine their dream, Father, but let the Spirit of God move in them right now. Let the Spirit of God bring decisions in them right now so they have directions for their life. I bless your mind. I bless your spirit. I bless your life in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get into a group of three or four and just tell them that one area of your life that you feel could be a stumbling block for not able to see what God is trying to show you. And then ask for prayer and say, you know what, can you pray for me in this area? Because James 5:16-17 says, when you confess your sin to one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed. And then begin to pray for one another and say, God, can you give me a dream? Give this brother of mine a dream, a sister a dream, and give them direction. So, okay, so let's do that. Can you put the music a little loud for me, please? Yeah. Okay, so get into a group of three or four. Make sure you're not alone. Get with three or four, yeah.